for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Friday. This is Matt Wilhelm, live from the Dog Bowl in Berea, joined by Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for the Cleveland Browns. We've continued to field calls. Everybody's talking free agents, tight ends, mock drafts. I've put out the question. The Browns have been significantly moving around in free agency in week two. What do they do at 12-19 now that they've signed those free agents? Let's go to the phones. Tom in California.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good, Tom. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. One of the frustrations I have, and one of you guys things you guys talk about is responsible spending, which I'm all for, but we've got like $50 million under the cap and no significant quarterback. Bill Polian's board on defensive linemen had Terrence Knighton as number two, and I think he went somewhere for like $4 million. And we had the 32nd ranked run defense in the country, and we've got a hole in tight end. It just seems like if we're saving money for something that I'm not 100% sure we're saving our money for, I'm not advocating we overspend, but it just seems like we're spending less to get smaller, feet or smaller bang for your buck, and I'm not sure that makes sense, especially given the holes we have at the run defense and tight end. I just want to get your thoughts there.
Well, we paid Randy Starks about that same number, $4 million average per year, two-year, $8 million deal. And as we opened this show, Andrew, you talked about Danny Shelton available at 12. He was linked to us early in many mock drafts, riding such a strong Senior Bowl. Then after that first initial mock draft, he then shot up, into the top five in some mock drafts, but it was somewhere between, I would say, 6 and 15, they have Danny Shelton going. If that's reality, do you think that's the home run as opposed to overpaying in free agency?
Knighton's an interesting one too, because he went to the Redskins and his deal was a 1 year, $4 million deal. And it's kind of a prove it deal.
True prove it deal.
But it's got like stuff in his contract about making weight restrictions and everything like that. And you begin to wonder if that was something that the Bray Farmer and the Browns decided they didn't want to deal with, and instead going with a player like Starks, who was, he didn't even count as, if you're looking forward to compensatory picks, doesn't even count toward that total when you figure out the compensatory picks next year, because he was released by the Dolphins. Starks is in good shape. And then you also have that endorsement from Carlos Dansby and just kind of the versatility that Randy Starks brings to your defensive line. I'm wondering, a lot of people did want Knighton. I'm starting to wonder. It didn't seem like it. We know how the Browns have been pretty tight-lipped about who they've been interested, who they've talked to, but there never was really any buzz with Knighton. But then the Starks signing kind of showed that they were looking at that position, and it appears that Starks was probably higher on their board.
And shed a little bit more light on that, the recruitment of Carlos Dansby. I know it was written, I believe, by either yourself or Kevin Jones. Just talk a little bit in deeper about, that Carlos Dansby, went out of his way to talk to Randy Starks when he knew the Browns were interested. And then also, too, Dansby went after, I believe, Farmer and some of the scouting staff to said, we got to get this guy.
Yeah, and I think he talked to Kevin Jones a couple days ago, and he said, I think it was more along the lines with, at least from the Farmer end, where he was like, hey, I don't know if you guys are interested in this guy, but if you are, I can give him the full endorsement. He played with him with the Dolphins, talked about not just his playmaking ability on the field. I think he called him a straight-up animal on the field. But he also likes him in the locker room, likes his leadership abilities. And he knows, like Dansby himself, still has some left in the tank at near the end of his career. And then he also went to Starks, who he knew well, and sold him on Cleveland's vision, kind of the plan they've got in place and how they can use a player like him. And you look at that defensive line, a lot of players coming back from injuries. Starks has been healthy. One of some incredibly durable numbers for that position where you're taking so many hits and dealing with injuries. So you put him in that mix, and you're hoping you're getting way more out of those injured players next year on top of a guy you can count on, reliable, not going to play him every snap near the end of his career, but a good guy to have in that room. And it's not the last piece to the puzzle on the defensive line, but it's a good step in the right direction.
It definitely is. And I want to talk, I'm going to stop, we'll get back to the calls here in a minute, but I want to talk about the defensive line, because we get Armani Bryant back healthy. We get hopefully a healthy Phil Taylor. We've got John Hughes, signed to a big deal for the next four years. Missed 11 games last year, coming back from injury. Got a contract extension as well. And now you throw Randy Starks into the mix. to me, that's a solid front. And what I love about that front is how active all those bodies are. They're not just guys that would just, you know, take a double team, because that doesn't fit the Mike Pettine defense.
Yeah, and an under-the-radar guy who had a pretty good year, not really under the radar because he signed a pretty big contract a couple years ago, but Desmond Bryant had a very good season last year as well.
He was one of the
few guys that stayed healthy enough to keep playing. I think he was playing through some injuries as well. Billy Winn was playing through some injuries at times. It was really kind of just a snake bit room down there for the defensive line. But again, I think they're talking to those guys after the season. I mean, they know where they ranked in run defense, and I think that's going to be a priority going forward. Jim O'Neill has talked about how they have confidence in the scheme. It's just a matter of implementing it better, getting the right guys in the right places. So I think there's confidence that this unit can be better than it was last year. But again, I don't think they're done adding to that room.
Yeah.
Clearly the draft is really going to help
add
some depth there.
Yeah, that's a room that needs to get better. Let's go back to the phones. I've got Gary in Orville talking about tight ends. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got a question about I think he's an unrestricted free agent from Arizona. I think his name is Rob House or something like that.
Housler?
I think he's like 20 years old. I'm sorry?
Housler?
Yeah, that's him. He's 26 years old. He's from Florida Atlantic, and from what they were saying on his report is that he was definitely an athlete. He was like 6'5", 250, but they just couldn't use him in Arizona because he wasn't a blocker. Did you think maybe that, you know, Cleveland may take a look at him because we need somebody that's a, you know, athletic tight end? What do you think? You think they? I hope they're not done in free agency. You know, they took a look at him.
Yeah, you would think. I don't know specifically about Housler with the Browns. I know he's been an intriguing name. He was linked to the Falcons a lot the last couple of days, but then the Falcons went out and signed the former Denver Bronco, Jacob Tammy. So it looks like they've addressed that need. You'd think going into OTAs, going into training camp, even before the draft, there's going to be some bodies added to that position because it's very short right now on players at the tight end position because of the loss of Jordan Cameron. You know, you would think if they've identified Housler as a guy that would fit into the scheme, he would have been talked to by now.
Sure.
But, you know, we were sort of taken aback by the Randy Stark signing, so they can sneak guys in and out of here without us noticing and without national media noticing. I mean, in terms of most of these free agent signings, the reporters had an indication on what was going to happen. The Starks thing kind of came out of nowhere.
It did.
So these things can pop up, but, you know, I think that the tight end, I think from my standpoint, I'm focusing on what can be gleaned from the draft, because I think the majority of guys, there still are a few guys out there. James Casey, Jermaine Gresham, when he's recovered from back surgery, might be a guy you take a look at that position. A couple other ones that just aren't exactly huge names. So that's my long way of saying I would think if Housler was fitting into the plans, we would have heard something by now. But
crazier
things have happened.
They absolutely have. And man, wouldn't it be nice to be the team that goes and gets some undrafted free agent or late draft pick, that basketball hybrid player that becomes the next Julius Thomas, the next Antonio Gates.
Keep an eye on the NCAA tournament.
There you go.
There could be some guys out there. You know,
that could be the end of the career for some of these guys who could come in and play football.
Some 6'7" power forward somewhere that's a tweener, too small for the NBA, but has the size and the hands to play in the NFL. I mean, it, you know, we joke about that, but there's been more than one example.
There absolutely has.
I mean, Antonio Gates is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, I hope.
Yeah.
I will be there for that, most definitely. Let's go back to the phones. Bobby in Columbus talking his mock draft. What's up? What's up, Bobby?
What's up, guys? AKA Ray Farmer today. Other than the obvious at 12, I mean, we got Amari Cooper and Kevin White. I'm not high on Devontae Parker. I've done a lot of reading on him. A lot of scouts say he's one-dimensional and very lazy. You guys got any feedback on that?
I hadn't heard those specific critiques on Parker. I know he definitely – there's some more questions about him than probably Amari Cooper and Kevin White at this point. But I thought a lot of that had to do with the fact that he missed a lot of his senior season. But when he was out there, he did produce. But, you know, I've seen more good than bad on Parker because he has kind of separated himself from that second tier. He's put himself in the first tier. But I do think it's the Cooper and White at 1-2. And then definitely Devontae Parker at that number 3. I haven't seen any mocks or anything like that that put Parker ahead of Cooper or White.
Sounds great. We're going to grab another timeout. We've got a second wave of Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. We've asked you, now that the Browns have been so active in the second week of free agency, you can draft at 12 and 19. You are Ray Farmer. Who do you like? Continue to call the show 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. I also, too, would like to call, if you'd like to call in, how about we grade the Browns' first 2 weeks of free agency? Give us your grade. Andrew and I will go over all of those picks and give you our grades, and we want to hear from you. How do you feel about the Cleveland Browns signing multiple free agents in week two? Andrew Gribble, Matt Wilhelm, live from Berea in the Dog Bowl. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.